Much better, thank you. And we're delighted to see you here this morning. And we hope that you're delighted to be here. It's a good day. It's the Lord's Day, amen? And, he's going to turn screens on? Is that what you're doing? I thought you wanted to preach. Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, we're praying that the Lord will do it again. That is, give us revival. And I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2, Acts the second chapter. Now, the preacher said the church was like 180 years old. I didn't realize that. I was the first pastor here. Watch it, brother. But in any event, I wasn't the first pastor, but I've been here a lot. And I've gotten to know many of you, and I praise the Lord for you. And we're delighted that you're here this morning. And what we really need here this morning is the Holy Spirit of God. And we need Him speaking to our hearts. So let's bow our heads and hearts in a word of prayer, and then we'll look into the Scriptures. Dear Father in heaven, help this not to be just another church service. Help it to be something special, something wonderful, something great. Help it to be like another Pentecost. Lord, we know that Pentecost was only one historical event in the past, but what we want is what happened on the day of Pentecost. We know we can't repeat the historical event, but we can ask you to make today our personal Pentecost. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to every heart. Help every person here to be conscious and aware of what the Bible says, and to be convicted by the Holy Ghost of God to do whatever it is that they need to do to let the Holy Spirit begin a revival in their hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, I think it's strange that when people come to church, instead of crowding together, they kind of spread apart. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. That phrase, by the way, carries throughout the book of Acts. One accord, one accord. One accord. They were all in agreement. They were all looking for the same thing. They were all experiencing something similar as the Holy Spirit of God came down in power on the day of Pentecost. So, what we want to do is find out exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. And today can be your personal Pentecost. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could experience the power of Pentecost here at First Baptist Church in Easton, Pennsylvania, in spite of the floods, in spite of the rain, in spite of the humidity and the heat and all the rest of that, that we would have a personal experience with the Holy Spirit of God this morning. It'd be a wonderful thing. And I hope you're longing for that. Because, you know, what we want to do is we want to find out what happened at Pentecost, and why we can't have what they had. Here's what happened. Number one, believers were changed. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they were used of God. Up to this time, the apostles had the power of God on them in that they could perform signs and wonders and miracles, but it seemed like something was missing until the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, suddenly, things changed, and the lost got saved. 3,000 people, preacher, how'd you like that? 3,000 people, all on one day, received Christ as their personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, then we urge you to make sure today. Let this be your day, your personal day of Pentecost. And I know that God will fill Christians and save the lost if we'll just open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit of God has to say today. Now, one of the prerequisites for revival is discontentment. You say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. The Bible talks about being content with in whatsoever place we find our state we find ourselves and so forth. No, I'm talking about discontentment with the status quo. You're not happy, or you're not a fulfilled Christian because there's something lacking, something missing in your life as a child of God. You need to get discontent with the status quo, because the status quo will never give you the experience that these early believers experienced. Now, I did not believe that God ever intended that Christians be not content with the fact that they're saved. But I do believe that God intended for Christians to be discontented with the status quo of the average Christian's life these days. And in fact, discontentment with what you are as a Christian or what you are as an unsaved person could mean that today could be your personal Pentecost. And that's what we're looking for today. That's what we're looking for this week. This is the 25th year of your tent meet. And wouldn't it be wonderful if on this anniversary year, we would see God suddenly move in and do something miraculous, something wonderful, just like on the day of Pentecost. Not only did 3,000 people get saved and baptized and become a part of the church, but they had the power of God upon them. They also had great boldness, the Bible says. So for the first thing is they were with one accord, and that phrase carries throughout the book of Acts. One accord, one accord, one accord. And then the second word that appears over and over again in the book of Acts is the word bold or boldness. They were bold because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Now, believers have been waiting 10 days for Pentecost to occur. There was 120 in the upper room, and then it says, and when the day of Pentecost was come, fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then the Bible says the Jews from all over the place began to come to Jerusalem. And we don't know how many thousands there were, but out of those who came, 3,000 of them received Christ as their Savior. And they got baptized that day. I don't know what's happened, brother. But people get saved, and they wait months and years sometimes to get baptized. I don't get it. If you get saved, you need to get in the pool as soon as possible. And it won't hurt you to get wet. A little water's good for you. Both if you're unclean and if you're saved. You need to get in the water of baptism. And you're depicting or portraying the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You can't do that with a couple drops on your forehead. You can't do it with a pitcher of water on your head. You've got to get in the water, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hearts were being prepared before the day of Pentecost. I hope that you've been praying before our tent meetings that God would do something special here, that we will see a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God in fullness and power. In fact, I believe these believers were waiting on something to happen. The Lord had ascended into heaven, and now Jesus isn't personally present, but they're waiting on something. They're expecting something. In fact, I think they were praying because they were discontent. They wanted something special. They wanted revival. They wanted victory. And maybe even salvation. Well, we know over 3,000 of them wanted salvation because they got saved that day. By the way, the first prerequisite to getting saved is not only do you have to want it and be discontent with your unsaved status, is to allow God and call upon the Lord for salvation. Because as Brother Schindler excellently portrayed in the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, by the way, if you weren't here, you should have been. I can get some amens. If you weren't here, you should have been. See, only the people who were here said amen. I don't know. Anyway, but you ought to come to Sunday school every week. Amen. It's a good thing to come to Sunday school. And if you are expectant, and if you are discontent with your present status as a Christian, discontent that you don't experience personal revival, discontent with the fact that you don't have victory over sin in your life, then you need to get here as often as possible. And you need to hear the Word of God, both preached and taught. And I know your pastor. I know him well. And I know that he preaches the Word of God and teaches the Word of God. You need to be here every time the doors are open. Today can be your personal Pentecost. Here's what they were praying, I believe, along with the psalmist. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Or so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You know, God's still alive. You know, God is still breathing. He didn't die. He breathed the Holy Ghost breathed upon the words of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that was his command. We need to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we don't have any word, we can't obey his command. Do you think he would give us a command we can't obey? Here's my creed, and I've said it several times here in the past. My creed is this. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant, the indestructible, and the preserved word and words of the living God. Now, if you believe that, then you ought to be here to hear it every time the doors are open. See, I caught you. But in any event, here's what you need to do. You need to say, I'm tired of being stirred and not changed. There's a song that goes along those lines. I'm tired of being stirred. Tired of coming to services and the Holy Spirit speaking to me through his word and his words, and then walk out the door the same way you came in. We need to change. We need to allow the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be discontent with the status quo. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck in some level of spirituality that doesn't allow the Holy Spirit of God to help me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should be discontent with the status quo that most Christians find themselves in. A mediocre Christianity just doesn't get it. What we need to do is get out of that mediocrity. Get out of that status quo state that we are in. Now, I had a man in my church, brother, and whenever I asked him how he was doing, I'd say, hey, Joe, how you doing? You know what he would say? It's up on the screen. Same old, same old. That's not what God wants. Do you remember Joe? I don't know. You say, hey, Joe, how you doing? Say, same old, same old. And man, it used to bug me when he would say that. And I know it bugged the Holy Spirit of God. We shouldn't be same old, same old. We should be constantly being filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody needs to say amen about it right there. We need to be filled. Now, we were baptized in the Spirit the day we got saved. We were immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. But he wants to fill us every day. He wants to take over our bodies, our minds, our hearts. He wants to give us new direction. He wants to pump us full of spiritual energy. He wants us to be more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And up to now, the disciples hadn't made much impact for Christ. But the day of Pentecost changed everything. And not only the day of Pentecost, but after that, here's 3,000 get saved here. 5,000 get saved next. That's 5,000 men. I don't know how many women. I don't know how many children. And then as the book of Acts progresses, more and more people by the hundreds, by the thousands are getting saved. Even some of the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even some of them were getting saved, because on the day of Pentecost, people were discontent with the status quo. And they didn't want the same old anymore. And we shouldn't want it either. Christians sit in service after service, and God stirs their hearts, and they just ignore the Holy Spirit of God. Or they just fluff it off. It's just another service after all. They just fluff off what God wants to do. But on this day, something special happened, and I believe God wants to do it again. I believe God wants to stir your heart, my heart. You know, they were convicted of their sin. They were convicted, I think, of their lack of service, of their continued lethargy, spiritual lethargy, and mediocrity. But they do little or nothing about it until the Holy Spirit of God infuses them with mighty power. And then people begin to respond. Not only do they get saved, but they immediately get baptized. Immediately they unite with the church. Immediately God changes their spiritual complexion. Some of them had already been saved. You know, the 120, I think they were all saved people. But now we've got the multitudes being convicted and converted. You know, God wants his children to be clean. Hello? And inwardly and outwardly. He wants them to be joyful. Wants them to be powerful so that when they speak, the Holy Spirit speaks through them. Wants to be useful. Wants us to be useful. Wants us to be blessed. You know, God isn't some God who has this great storeroom up in heaven with a big lock on the door. He's got the storeroom full of blessings, and he has a channel going to East Christian, and we block the channels because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God the way he wants us to be. Now, former cowards for Christ on the day of Pentecost suddenly became warriors, suddenly became charged with new spiritual energy. And Peter preached, and 3,000 people get saved. Former mediocre believers turn the world upside down for Christ, the book of Acts says. I mean, think about that. The known world of that day, who knew nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ, took a handful of people, proportionally speaking, of those who dwelt on the earth, and turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we would actually fulfill the great commandment, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and see people saved, baptized, and a part of the church, and waiting for the rapture. Don't just get stirred again today. Change. Let the Holy Spirit do something special in your life. I need your attention. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. No sleeping in this service. I've learned to throw hymn books, brother. I'm good at it. Man, I can target people with those. And so that's what I'll do if I see you, you know, nodding off. But listen, to be serious, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to do something special in your life this morning, not tonight, not tomorrow, not the next day, although it should happen on a regular basis, a daily basis. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But today, in this service, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. Do something special in your life. That's what I'm waiting for. Today can be your personal Pentecost. And I hope it will be. Now, you need to be tired of being stirred and not changed. But you also need to be tired of being moved and not being filled. You need to be discontent with a lack of power. When you go soul winning, and I hope you do, when you go soul winning and you speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God ought to speak through you, and you ought to see them respond accordingly. I mean, I knocked on a door, and this dear lady named Bonnie came to the door. And I said, hi, ma'am, and I introduced myself and our church and so forth. I said, we have a new church in the area, and we're just... we're just going out and inviting people to church. I said, by the way, do you go to church anywhere? She said, not really. She said, I know I should, but I don't. I said, well, let me ask you this question. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And she looked stunned. What do you mean a personal relationship? And then I proceeded to go through the plan of salvation. I said, ma'am, this is at the doorway. And I said, ma'am, I said, if right now you would call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, you could be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. I said, wouldn't that be wonderful? She said, it would. I said, well, here's what you need to do. And I said, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, what does it mean? What is the word that we use when we call on God's name? She said, you mean prayer? I said, that's exactly what I mean. And I said, would you pray and ask Christ to come in your heart? She said, yeah, I will. And she prayed and asked Christ to come in her heart. She came to church, got baptized. I don't think she's missed a service. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, she's there. You need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. By the way, this is not a young lady. She's about years old. And I don't know. I don't like to guess ladies' age. I don't dare ask ladies. No, you don't do that. Now, it seems to me that once they get past 65, they don't care anymore. But up to that time, they don't want to hear, how old are you, you know? Right, sister? Right. You're not there yet, right? So you're not telling. Okay. Anyway, powerless saints, when you speak, God should speak through your lips to the heart of the person that you're speaking to. If you're witnessing to people, you know it's going to be a sad day at the judgment seat of Christ when Christians stand before the Lord and he asks, where are your sheaves? Where are the people that you've led to Christ? Will you look out at that vast crowd of saints in heaven and say, oh, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one? Or will you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just didn't do what you told me to do. I wasn't a soul winner. Some people think that soul winning is a gift. Soul winning is not a gift. It's a response to a command. God said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. That isn't for preachers. That's for every believer. And so we need to be tired of being moved and not being filled where the Lord can energize us and use us and speak through us. Somebody needs to say amen. I just want to see if you're breathing, okay? Breathe real loud so I know you're still there and alive. People come up to me and they'll say, how old are you, Pastor? I'll say, well, I'm still breathing. That's all I want to say. Or I'm above ground because I don't want to be below ground yet. Now, frankly, if it wasn't for me having to take care of my wife, by the way, you need to pray for her. She fell this morning right here in the ladies' room. Thank God for the men who responded quickly and helped me get her up and for the ladies who were right there at her side. But she fell. She's in pain. That's why she has her head down like you see her now. And so please pray for her if you would. But I can't go to heaven first because she needs somebody to take care of her. And I don't know who that would be without me. So you need to pray that I'll stay alive, although I don't want to. I want to go to heaven ASAP. I mean that, brother. I'd love to get on the next busload or individual or whatever. I just want to get there. I've preached a whole series of messages on heaven. Just fantastic. And if you want to read a great book, it's just called Heaven. And it's by Randy Alcorn. Get a hold of that book. It's about yay thick. But man, it'll bless your heart. He's not of our stripe per se, but he's done an exhaustive study on the concept of heaven. You need to get a hold of that book and read it and digest it. Now, you know, the result of filling of the Spirit is power, number one, to witness, and also power to live clean for the Lord. I want that to sink in for just a minute because we have so many things that vie for our attention from the world. And the Bible says, love not the world. It says if you love the world, you can't be in love with the Savior the way you should. And we need to be in love with the Savior. Amen. See, if you don't say it, I do, and at least I get one amen per service. Now, saints in this age are already indwelt with the Spirit, but not necessarily filled with the Spirit. So you need to say, I'm tired of being moved and not being filled. I had a deacon in my church, and he said he started every day this way. He would say, Lord, I want you to take my eyes today and help me only to see those things you want me to see. My ears, that I only hear the things you want me to hear. My hands, that they'll only do the things you want me to do. My feet, they'll only go to places you want me to go. And he went through his whole body like that, and he was filled every day with the Spirit of God, and that's what God wants us to do. If we do that, we'll be able to be effective witnesses. We'll be able to allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak through our lips to other people and to convict them and to convert them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, several years ago, I went through a dry spell in my life and in my ministry. And I devoted an entire year to reading and trying to saturate my soul with everything I could about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. I went from Genesis to Revelation, tracked down every reference in my Bible to the Holy Spirit of God. And I read biographies of those who were mightily used of God. The main thing, of course, was the Scripture. Every passage in the Bible regarding Spirit-filled believers. I was not content to be stirred and not moved, or to be moved and not filled. And finally, that dry spell ended, and God energized my preaching and teaching, and I began to see a flood of souls walk the aisle again. And we didn't have, for years, we didn't have one service, at least on a Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We didn't have one service where we didn't see somebody walk down to receive Christ as Savior and Christians coming forward in the services. Not one. Why? Because God did what he wanted to do and what I wanted him to do, which was to fill me or empower me with the Holy Spirit of God. And so, today can be your personal Pentecost. And I hope you're praying in that direction right now. Number three, I'm tired of being challenged and not being used. You feel that way this morning? You come to church and God, the Holy Spirit, challenges you through the pastor's preaching. And then you go out the doors the same way you came in? Are you kidding me? Why bother to come to church? Just sleep in. If you're not coming to get something, if you're not coming to allow the Holy Spirit of God to do something, coming to church is pointless. And I often look at congregations where I go to preach and I see people, they're doing, I hate this. They're doing this, we're going to raise a whole generation of people who have super big thumbs because they exercise them so much. And you can't even carry on a conversation with them because they're constantly doing this. I see couples sitting across from each other in a restaurant, and instead of talking to each other, they're texting each other. What? Are you crazy? I don't know. When I fell in love with my wife, I didn't text her, believe me. I wanted to be with her as much as possible, and I still do. And now I have to be there. I mean, when your daughter took those vows yesterday, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I think the average couple never evaluates exactly what they're saying and the commitment that they're making on that day, because it can become real in your marriage. You talk about for richer, for poorer, it might be poorer. Sickness and in health, oh yeah, for the last 8 years I've been my wife's caregiver. Why? Because I made that commitment. I'm not about ready to walk out the door and abandon her now. And I'm asking God to take her to heaven before he takes me to heaven, just so I can make sure that she's taken care of. And I hope you're ready to go to heaven. And I hope you're tired of being challenged in church services and not used of God. Discontent with a lack of service. Preacher, I'm not going to ask you publicly as to how many or what proportion of the congregation come out for soul winning. Because if it's like the average church, it's a handful compared to the crowd that come maybe Sunday morning or Sunday night. It's a sad thing when Christians are challenged for service, but not used for God's service. Now, I already said that that which characterized the church after Pentecost was a holy boldness and a driving desire to serve the Lord regardless of the cost to their ego, their reputation, their life. There was such a concern for others in the church. I want you to look at it, please, in verse 44 of chapter 2. Verse 44, it says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." They all got saved. 3,000 people got saved, baptized, joined the church, and they had a real concern for each other. We have like three families in our church because I refuse to learn how to cook. Sorry, don't want to learn. Never learn, don't want to learn. And so they provide meals for us. My daughter provides meals for us. My granddaughter sometimes provides meal for us. And what kind of concern do you have about people who are shut-ins in this area? Let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone in this area who is deaf or who is blind? Couldn't one of you ladies bake some cookies for them, take them over? Couldn't one of you ladies go over and clean the house for the blind? You know, they can't see the mess that they're living in. And we used to have ladies who, on a weekly basis, went and cleaned the house, washed their clothes, folded their clothes, put them away, put them in a certain order so the blind would know where they were. All of that, that's practical Christianity in action. I'm tired of being challenged and not being used. You need to get discontent with a lack of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of the early Christian zeal and boldness and humility, many were saved and impacted as a result of the dedication for service on the part of believers. Let me ask you a question. This is very personal. If I could come and ask each one of you personally, I would do this. What are you doing for God through this church and its ministry? What do you do to increase the numbers, to get people to come out to church, to go soul winning, to help out wherever it's needed? How long did it take you to put the tent up yesterday? Now, you had some outside help, right? Oh, okay. That kind. Okay, got it. Most of the day. You know, that tent can be put up in how short a period of time they do it? Solid rock. An hour, hour and a half. And it's twice that size, right? Because that tent expands. So an hour and a half, because the people at Solid Rock have a real desire to serve God. And when it's time to put the tent up, they're all there. All the men come out with their sledgehammers and whatever they need to put the tent up. What are you doing personally? By the way, I appreciate the ministry you had of flowers around the church. And I love flowers. And there are so many things right now, and I better leave that alone. Right now, there are people downstairs getting food ready for you to eat after the service. I wish they were up here. I would never allow anybody to miss our services just because we were having a fellowship afterwards. It's up to the preacher to do what he wants. But I wish they were all here. In fact, I went downstairs and I said, you know what? I said, how do we expect to have revival when you're down here? I said, you're the people that need the revival. Well, everybody does. But in any event, that's what I told them. And I wanted to get them under conviction so that they'd be ready for the service tonight in the tent. Now, aren't you tired of just sitting and soaking up sermons and never using all that you hear and learn from the Word of God as your pastor preaches and putting into practice what the Lord has done for you? Don't you want to see your family saved in heaven? Listen, if they don't get saved, they're going to be spending eternity in hell fire. the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't want to carry that guilt with me to the grave or to heaven. And I don't want to be in heaven and look down there like Abraham could look across that great gulf when before heaven was moved out of that place and moved to paradise or the third heaven. But I don't want to be able to look down into hell and see my lost loved ones, friends, or relatives, or neighbors burning in hell. I wish you'd pray for my next door neighbor. His name is Ralph, a real nice guy. He takes out my trash. He does things for me, but he's lost. And he needs Christ as Savior. And I'm witnessing to him and doing things for him on a regular basis to try to influence him and impact him for the gospel of Christ. And that's what we all need to be doing. Aren't you a bit jealous of other people with less education, perhaps, with less personality, with less talent, with less skills than you being used while you sit on the sidelines and let somebody else do it? Did you come out yesterday and give water to the men, some cold water, give maybe a snack or whatever? Did you come yesterday and help the preacher set up chairs or do whatever was necessary yesterday? By the way, he's limited in what he can do these days, physically limited. I hope he wasn't swinging a sledgehammer yesterday. You weren't, were you? Oh, maybe he was. He shouldn't be, and he shouldn't have to. And some of you young fellows, young as anything under my age, some of you young fellas could come out and sling a sledgehammer in his place. Aren't you jealous or envious of others? Here's a challenge for you. Why don't you, if you want to see your pastor have a real heart attack, he's already had enough of that, but if you want to go up to him and say, hey, preacher, is there anything around here I can do to help you? He'd probably go and perish right on the spot. Now, listen to me. You could be a teacher. You could be a bus worker. By the way, it's like finding hen's teeth these days to find bus workers.
Yes, sir.
At one point, we were running up to 14 buses. God was wonderfully blessing with souls saved every single week. I don't know whether I told this story the last time I was here, but about 2 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail, actually it was in a church envelope of the church I formerly pastored, Faith Baptist in Fairless Hills. And I opened it up, and there's another envelope inside that had been opened, and there was a check inside, a good check, a big check. And it was from a lady, and she said, you know, preacher, she said, back in the 70s, did I tell this story here last time? Good, I want to tell it again. It really moved me. This lady said, I got saved by coming on the blue bus from Faith Baptist Church and being in Sunday school and being in Daily Vacation Bible School back in the 1970s. So that puts her about 50, 60 years old now. And she says, I wanted to send this money to you to thank you for being there for children like myself. And we would bring in hundreds of kids. And I'll be in a Walmart, and somebody will come up to me and say, you're Pastor Fredette, aren't you? I'll say, who are you? And they say, well, we used to ride the bus in Sunday school. And my question is, are you still going to church somewhere? You got saved? Oh, yeah, I got saved. There was a young black fella in a Walmart. He works for Walmart. And I went up to him, and I said, I need to find something. He told me where it was. And when we got to where it was, he said, I know you. You're Pastor Fredette, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. I said, how do you know me? He said, well, I go to Faith Baptist, and I've been gone there for a long time, and I remember when you were pastor there. And he said, I said, well, what are you doing these days? Why are you working here? And he said, oh, he says, I've got 36 days, and then I'm off to Bible college. Man, that was a blessing. I mean, I didn't even know this young man. I guess he's in his 20s. I don't know. But in any event, he came when I was still pastor. He was just a little tot, a little kid. So go up to the preacher and say, hey, could I sign up for toddler or nursery duty? I don't know if you, but I, it was like pulling teeth sometimes to get somebody to do that. Could I make a meal for the blind or the deaf, or use my carpentry skills, my electrical skills, my plumbing skills, my artistic skills, or other skills or talents for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm tired of being challenged and not being used. Well, be used. God wants to use you. Enlist in some service area today and stop being a serviceless saint. And start trusting the Lord. By the way, you ought to check these things off and see if you are one of the kind of people we're talking about. Are you tired of being challenged and not being used? I hope you're asking yourself. And lastly, you know, today can be your personal Pentecost. Lastly, I'm tired of being convicted and not converted. You know, you come to church, you hear the word of God preached, and it rolls off your back like a water off a duck's back. I mean, you get convicted, but for some reason, you don't want anybody to see you get up out of your seat when the invitation is given and walk forward. By the way, how many of you did that in a service at one time when you got saved? You walked an aisle in church. That's most everybody here. So you're not going to embarrass anybody by doing that. You're going to do the same thing they've already done. Amen. So in fundamental churches, we preach so that people will make public commitments. Amen. And, you know, the people who got saved, the Bible says over in the book of Matthew, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who's in heaven. So there's nothing wrong with making a public commitment. And when I was a Catholic, I used to go up to the altar every week and get the, quote, the body of Christ. No, it was just a wafer. And it was nothing more than a wafer. And you put it under a microscope, there was no blood, bones, or flesh in that wafer, I guarantee you. Even though the priest said he magically, mystically changed that wafer into the body and blood of Christ. What a farce. What a con that is. And what a horrible thing it is to convince people that they're going to go to heaven because they ate a piece of bread. That is sick. And every priest and every pope is going to answer to God Almighty for that. And I guarantee you that's true. Now, there were many religious but lost people on the day of Pentecost attending the Passover feast in Jerusalem. But they were discontent and they had no assurance of heaven. What we need to do is be discontent without the assurance of heaven. If you're not 100% sure that if you drop dead right now, that your heart beat its last. And by the way, it will one day. It's just going to quit, and you're dead. And your soul either goes to hell forever and ever or goes to heaven forever and ever. So I hope today, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, that you will become converted, that you'll receive Christ as your Savior. Do what that lady did when I knocked on the door and I said, would you pray and ask Christ to come into your heart right now? She says, I will. And she prayed and she's gloriously saved and she's growing in the Lord by leaps and bounds. There are no doubt people who attend this church who are moral but lost, religious but not saved, interested but not born again, and convicted, but not converted. Is that you? Is that you? I don't know who you are. God knows who you are. You know who you are. If you're discontent with no assurance of heaven, you're an unconverted church attender. But today can be your personal Pentecost, and you can receive Christ as your Savior. Here's what you need to do. Sweep away all your excuses. I was in a tent meeting in 1956 with Oliver B. Green, the preacher, and I was sitting right about here. And I had a young lady with me who wouldn't go out on a date with me, but because it was a religious, because I had a bad reputation, but because it was a religious service, her parents let her go with me. And Oliver B. Green, he preached the word of God. And I looked around to see if she and other people were raising their hands when he asked. And I didn't, the girl that I had with me didn't raise her hand. And so I thought, I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going forward, although the Holy Spirit was convicting me. And so I went home, and I swore, after hearing 500 verses of Just As I Am, I swore I'd never go back to that tent the next night, because that girl said, I'll go with you again. I said, okay, I'll go. And I went. And that night, I didn't care if she raised her hand or anybody in that tent raised their hand. 3,000 people there. And I just immediately put my hand up that I needed Christ as Savior. When he said, come forward, I don't know if anybody beat me to the altar, but I'll guarantee you, I went up there as quickly as I could and introduced me to an old-fashioned preacher who took me in the back of the platform, which was a tractor-trailer bed, and took me in the back of that and led me to Jesus Christ. I was 22 years of age. It was 1956. And I received Christ as my Savior. And I've never been the same, and I've never regretted that day when I trusted Christ as Savior. I got tired of being convicted and not converted. I had gone to church, Catholic church. I'd gone to a Methodist church, but I had not been saved. And that night, I got saved. So why don't you do something about your lack of assurance today in this service? Why don't you believers do something to change your status quo? Today can be your personal Pentecost. Discontentment may lead to revival, to victory, and even salvation if you're unsaved. So, if you're tired of being stirred but not changed, if you're tired of being moved and not filled, if you're tired of being challenged and not used, or if you're tired of being convicted and not converted, today can be your personal Pentecost. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly right now, if you would, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Nobody looking around just now. This is very personal, very private.